Good morning. You listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Parr. This morning, my guest is Bruce Wicker. Formerly was the CEO of J.J. Haynes, but in the last few years, been a consultant in the business. Bruce, how you doing?
I'm fine, Kemp. How are you?
I'm good. I know you gave a presentation recently called Polymers and Flooring. Thought I'd get with you and have you tell our audience a little bit of the highlights of that.
So there's a group called AMI, and they put on various subject matter conferences. This one was, as you say, Polymers and Flooring. And my role there was to talk about the flooring industry and specifically about LVT, and that was the major focus for the attendees there. Just to give you a little sense of the audience, so the audience were manufacturers and suppliers to the manufacturers of LVT, as well as LVT manufacturers and purchasers, Mohawk, Tarquette, Interface, Mullican. We had a panel with Shaw and Metroflor and Anton Declarquec. We had a good group. One of the big focuses was trade. Everyone wanted to understand what was going on relative to the tariffs and what was going to happen in LVT because of them. You know, they wanted to understand, was there a duty or not, because some of the audience wasn't that familiar, and how much capacity would be added in the U.S. as a result of all this. So it was a pretty interesting discussion. But at the end of the day, if you take a look at the fact that there probably will be more U.S. capacity, but it's not rushing to be built or invested in because the tariff barrier, currently at 25%, maybe goes up another 5%, mid-October, we'll see.
Yeah.
But at 25%, that could go away at a moment's notice. So it's a big decision for someone to make an investment or not. Yeah, I could tell you a little bit more about what we came up with sort of as a group as a conclusion as to how much capacity would be added.
Well, especially, let me just point out one thing that you may have mentioned to them. The 301 tariffs, specifically, are around stealing of intellectual properties. So there's actual provisions with the U.S. Trade Office that allows you to file for exceptions, and most of the large producers have filed because one of the qualifications for getting an exemption is that there's not enough capacity anywhere else in the world. And if you're talking about rigid LVT, that product was actually developed in China. So nobody stole that from the Chinese. That product's been developed and refined, and there's not enough capacity anywhere else in the world. So there's a real good chance, it may be December, where there's an exception written for the tariff for rigid LVT.
Well, in fact, there is an exemption petition for two very specific forms of LVT. I was also reading recently that there's an exemption for a specific form of laminate. So, yeah, so behind the scenes. And then meanwhile, you know, we all know from a political standpoint, you know, what's at stake here between the two countries and the two presidents of the two countries. So this could go away. The point being that it's a brave man who's going to make a investment if they're relying on a 25% tariff barrier to have a cost advantage. But if you look at it with the growth rate of LVT, if it were to go at a declining growth rate per year for the next 5 years. In other words, if it's 25% now, let's say it goes down to 10% over a five-year period, stepping down,
yeah,
it will still double. It'll be 20+% of the market by then. So the capacity in the U.S., if it's at 10, 15, some might say 20%, it'll never get above 40% if it were to triple between now and 5 years from now. So we're going to be relying on imports for a long time.
So investing in domestic capacity, a caveat, if you can run it, it would be a wise decision, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then probably most people who are going to be making it will be buying it as well. We also talked about the technology of the product and where is it in its evolutionary stage. So this might be interesting. But if we look at the period of maybe 2014 to 2017, and on a scale of 1 to 10, the innovation was maybe at a really high level. Let's call it a 10, for the sake of argument. Today, it's probably like a 7 or an 8. Now, a 7 and 8 is still pretty damn high, but not as high as it was. But meanwhile, you've got a product that's growing 20-25%. Other categories, as you know, are also trying to innovate and secure their own space. So we've got a war of features and benefits and technology going on here across the whole waterfront.
Yeah, one that we probably should mention, because you're also involved with the NWFA, the National Wood Floor Covering Association, you're one of their strategic consultants. I went to the Carpet One show this summer, and several of the biggest exhibitors were showing this new multi-layered hardwood floor. It actually qualifies, the way they've written the specs for what's a hardwood floor, it qualifies, and it's waterproof.
Yeah, and you know, one of the trends we talked about at the show is really the categories of flooring.
Yeah.
In fact, to that point, even the definitions, what we heard there was one of the producers said, well, we really shouldn't be calling a multi-layer floor covering and thinking of WPC and SPC as pieces of that because a lot of floor covering is multi-layer. I mean, we're still struggling with the definitions of this thing.
Yeah.
It is very, very blurry. I'm also on the board of a company called Virginia Tile, $200 million distributor of tile out in the Midwest. And as you know, the tile industry and the Tile Association is looking into whether or not there is some issue with these mineral or stone cores, as they're called, MGL being an example, to see if there's performance issues. At the same time, I've heard from people over in China that the cost of MGL is going up because not all MGL is the same. So it's a better quality that needs to get into flooring. So we're still talking about a moving target when we think of LVT.
Well, just as an example we used a minute ago in the hardwood business, you know, there's now this product that's wood on top and a construction that includes polymer in the middle. And this week in Chersai, I just got back last night, you know, U.S. Floors, which is a division of Shaw Industries, is rolling out Cortex Stone. And it will be more competition for traditional porcelain tile business.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, the tile folks will be enlarged by and experience some of what the wood industry experience as it relates to LVT. And in both cases, there are consumers who want the real thing, and the real thing, as you know, has attributes, both of them, both tile and wood, that LVT can't deliver.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we said earlier, we really have a war of features and benefits and technology going on across the categories with LVT on the offense.
Right. Well, the LVT category, the whole vinyl product category, is new and it's trendy. RSAs like to tell the consumer what's hot and what's new. As I think about what I've just seen this past week in Italy, for many years, almost a third of the presentation in these roughly 26 buildings, I mean, this is a massive show, have had the wood look. Well, guess what? The wood look is gone in Italy. I mean, I know they're probably still selling it, but they're not promoting it at this trade show. So there are trends and fads, and that one's going out of favor, and exposed aggregate's coming into favor. So it's going to be interesting to see how
right.
it all sorts out.
Yeah, it sure will be. We're not towards the back of this book yet.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. I don't know what chapter we're in, but maybe we're two-thirds of the way in the book. It's still it's a bunch more to read.
Yeah,
find out what happens.
But I think you and I both would agree that almost all of the growth in the flooring business in the U.S., especially in the residential side, is in the LVT category this year.
Yeah, clearly. And the anti-dumping and countervailing duties in tile, the higher anti-dumping duty on wood, the tariffs themselves, all the pre-buying that's been going on also caused a lot of this first half to look pretty strange in terms of supply and demand.
Yeah.
But underneath it all, our best year was 2017, and 2018 was okay, and 2019, this first half of this year, has just not been good. It's been soft.
Exactly. All right, Bruce, great to catch up with you. Thanks for spending time with our audience. Again, been talking to Bruce Wicker, a consultant in the business, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaLA.net.